No, that's not what that's about. All right, let's turn in our Bibles over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I got my new glasses. I'm not sure I can see. You look kind of weird out there today. I don't know how it's going to go. I can see my notes. I guess that'll help. All right. Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verses 13 through 26. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if thou bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you bless the preaching of your word now. Lord, help us to focus in on what you have for us here. And Lord, we pray that you would be in control of everything that I say and do here today, and that you would be honored through the message today, and that your people would be encouraged and helped, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as a result today to walk closer to you, Lord, and to love you better, to walk in the Spirit, Lord, today we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's the title of the message today, Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. In verse 16 it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And again in verse 25 it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Before we get into this, we need to define a few terms here. I want the kids all to understand what these words all mean. What does it mean? You know, the Bible uses the word walk a lot. It talks about walking in the light, walking circumspectly, and all these other different things, ways that we ought to walk. Well, what does it mean to walk? Well, the word walk means that's an indication of how we live. Just every aspect of our life, in other words. Everything we do in our life, as we go through this life, as we, so to speak, walk through this life, everything that we do in this life, it has to do with our conduct and our behavior, certainly. Do we walk with the right kind of conduct, the right kind of behavior? It has to do with our relationships with one another and our relationship, of course, with the Lord. It also has to do with the input that we allow to come into our lives. As we walk through this life, there are a lot of things that Sometimes they're bad things that we allow to come into our lives, and sometimes, of course, good things. And it also has to do with our attitudes of the heart. As we heard a little while ago, David was a man after God's own heart. David had a heart for God. And so it has a lot to do with the inner attitudes of our heart. It also has a lot to do, and along with that, with our emotions and our passions. And it certainly has a lot to do with our obedience or our disobedience to God and to His Word. So that's what the term walk means, is just how we go through this life and all the things we do and think about and so on, okay? And the word spirit here, walk in the Spirit, it's referring to the Holy Spirit, of course. The Holy Spirit, as we know, indwells the believer. An unbeliever doesn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, but the believers do. The Bible says in John, Jesus prophesied in John 14:17, He said, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." Romans 8:9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So, one of the distinguishing factors between a person who's saved, born again, and a person who's not, is the saved person definitely has the Holy Spirit indwelling within them. Okay, every one of us who are saved today has the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. We know that. This is elementary. We understand that. Then the word flesh, we need to understand what that means. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is that referring to there? The flesh is simply that old sinful nature, the fallen nature, the depraved nature, the evil, immoral, heinous, fiendish, wicked nature that dwells in every one of us. Now you say, "Man, you make it sound really bad." That's because it is really bad. It is very bad. And what makes that even more difficult for us is that's part of us. It's just there. It's a part of our nature. It's a part of our makeup. We have, because of the sin of Adam, we have inherited his fallen nature, and there's no getting around that. It's there. And it is awful. It's terrible. Now, kids, let me ask you a question. Who would you say was... give me two or three names of the worst people that have ever lived in history. The most bad men, say, who've ever lived in history. Who would you say that might be?
Anybody?
Adolf Hitler. Okay, that's a good one. Now, he was horrible. He slaughtered 6 million Jews. Who else? Anybody else? Think hard. Think back in history. Maybe even a Bible character, but... nobody? I guess he's the worst guy in the world. Dale? Yeah, the Pharaoh back in Egypt, that's right. I mean, he was a horrible guy. There have been a lot of very horrible people down through history, hasn't there? And Nero, for example. I mean, he lit Christians on fire, covered them in pitch and tar, and put them on a pole, and he burned Christians alive to light his garden. This guy was a horrible guy. Nero. Nero. By the way, it's interesting today. You know, Nero was the Caesar who assassinated or killed, executed, that's the right word, I guess, the Apostle Paul, or had him killed. But today, people call their dog Nero, and they call their sons Paul, don't they? And so I think that's pretty interesting. But at any rate, he was a horrible guy. And there are a lot of other horrible. Stalin's another one. He was a horrible man. Killed many Christians. We could go on and on. There have been, you know, numerous horrible, horrible people. But you know what? What caused them to do that? What caused them to be like that? Well, it was that sinful nature, that wicked, evil nature that was part of them. Guess what? You and I have that same, very same sinful, evil nature in us. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? We have that kind of potential, in other words, in us. That's why we need to get born again. Amen? Get saved. Get cleaned up. God can deal with that. Well, so that's the flesh. In Romans 7, 18 through 21, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." That is the fleshly nature, that sin that dwells within us, that keeps us from doing right and causes us to do wrong. Verse 21 says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." There again is that old fleshly sinful nature. So there's a struggle that is going on within us, isn't there? And the word lust simply means the desires or longings. The lust of the flesh simply means the desires or longings of the flesh. The desires or longings of the flesh. Now, as we look at this subject of walking in the Spirit and the problem that we have with the flesh and everything, there are three questions that arise. First question might be, how do we get rid of this evil tendency that's within us? How in the world can we get rid of this evil, fleshly, sinful tendency that's within us? Well, Romans, if we go on with this passage in Romans here, Romans 7:24, it says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is the dilemma that we all find ourselves in. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So who delivers us from this evil, terrible tendency? Who can tell me? Just read it. Come on, kids. Who delivers us from that? Are you listening? Let me read the verse again, okay? "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." The verse right before that said, "Who shall deliver me?" And it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So who delivers us? Jesus, you got it. There you got it. Very good. All right. So, if we read on there in that passage, though, it gives us a little more insight into this. It says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And that kind of means the same thing as walking in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So in other words, the law, trying to keep the law, failed. In other words, if a person is going to try and reform the flesh, and a lot of people try to do this, they try to reform their flesh. You know what? It's a lost cause. You can't reform the flesh. What do you have to do with the flesh? You can't reform it. You can't remodel it. You can't make it better. So what in the world can you do with the flesh? Well, you can crucify it. You can put it to death, can't you? And that's what the Bible tells us to do. Let me put it this way. I'm going to give you a little illustration here. I'll probably just give it away. What is in this glass, kids? Huh? You said it. Say it louder. Air, right? Okay, air. That's right. All right. Now, does anybody got any ideas how we can get the air out of this glass? You want to try and get the air out? You want to try and suck the air out? Huh? Russell, could you do that? Would that work? You think? If you put a straw in there and you suck real hard, could you get all the air out? You think? No. It'd be kind of a lost cause, wouldn't it? You just couldn't get it all out. I can't figure out any way of getting the air out of that glass. Anybody got a way? Anybody got an idea how we get the air out? Huh? Huh? Good idea. Great idea. Let's try that. See if that works. All right. We're going to put some water in this glass and see if we can push all that air out. Wow. Look at that. It's working. Right up to the top there. We got all the air out of that glass. Huh? Russell? Worked, didn't it? Huh? Okay. You know what, though? There's a few bubbles left in there. Still a few bubbles in there. A few little air bubbles. Not very much, but there's a few. How do you get the fleshly nature, that sinful, wicked nature out of you? Well, you have to put something else in. And that makes it go away. You know what you put in there? You put the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in there. You see? The more of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you just fill that up partway, that up a little bit. You pushed a little bit of the air out, didn't you? But you didn't get it all. The more you put in there, the more air you're pushing out, the more of the Holy Spirit that you allow to control your life, the more you're going to push the flesh out. See? You just keep putting more of the Spirit in there, letting the Spirit control more of your life, you get all that out. Oops. But there's still some bubbles. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that we will never in this life, we're never going to totally eradicate that old fleshly nature. We're still going to have, no matter how dedicated we are, no matter how much we love the Lord, no matter how much we walk in the Spirit, no matter how much we allow God to control our lives and be the Lord of our lives, yet there's still going to be some bubbles in there. There's still going to be some of that flesh left in there in this life. until we go home to be with the Lord. And guess what? Finally, the flesh will be eradicated. Finally. It'll all be gone. Man, I look forward to that day. Amen? No more plagued by these evil desires. Oh, what a joy, what a blessing that will be. But in the meantime, we have to figure out how to walk, how to live with this, how to deal with this, how to have victory in our life, in our Christian lives, day by day by day. So the second question that comes up is, what does walking in the Spirit actually look like? What does walking in the Spirit actually look like? Now we're going to illustrate some things here for you today. And I'm going to need a lot of help. Thinking about Jonathan, would you come up and help me, please? And Roy, could you help me too, please? And Russell, I need you too, okay? Now, Jonathan here, he's going to be our, guinea pig, but that's not a very good expression. He's going to be the person, okay? What do you call a person? The person. Okay. All right. Now, to begin, and this guy here, one of these guys is going to be the flesh, and one of them is going to be the spirit, okay? And so, you know, we're gonna just see how this all works out here. Okay. Now, the unsaved person, I got this all entangled here. The unsaved person, you two step over here for a minute. No, just you two. Oh, you stay there for a minute. Come on over here, Russell. Okay. Now, this is what the unsaved person has. Only. He's got a problem, doesn't he? You see, he has nothing whatsoever to resist evil with. Nothing. Whatever the flesh tells him to do, he does it. He has no, there's no recourse. There's just, you know, maybe he tries to be, he tries to reform the flesh. You know, try to make the flesh better. Nah, flesh is, it's awful. You just can't make it better. So, this guy's in trouble. Okay? But he comes to the place where he realizes he's a lost sinner, he's on his way to hell, and he wants to be saved. He wants to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, and he bows his head and he asks Jesus to come into his heart and be a Savior. Amen? All right. What happens then? Well, then Spirit comes along. Now, we're going to switch our characterization here for a minute. Okay. Now, you're going to be something else. You're going to be Spirit, okay? There we go. All right, you want to put this one on? Well, here we have the new believer, okay? Now, he's on his way to heaven, and he's, you know, he's got some help now, doesn't he? A little bit of help, all right? And so what happens here? Well, first thing that happens is he comes along and he's walking through life. Well, guys all want to step down there for a minute. We're going to have to just walk through life here. All right. Now he's walking through life, and he comes to, let's see, he comes to Jack back over here. You guys walk over there by Jack, okay? Now Jack is a mean, ornery cuss. I mean, I'll tell you what, he is the most ornery character you could ever imagine. Yeah, look real, you scowl there real good, Jack. And so, now, you know, Jonathan, of course, he didn't like that very well. And Jack's really mean to him and stuff. And the flesh, now, see how big the flesh is? Okay. And the flesh says, hey, this guy is mean. Don't have nothing to do with him. In fact, when he says something mean to you, you just say something mean right back to him. You get ready and you say it. And you just, yeah, there you go. But the spirit over here, this little guy, he's saying, no. You need to show love to this guy. You need to be nice to him. So take Jonathan by the arm there, Russell, and tell him that you need to be nice to this guy. All right? But the flesh, what does he do? He's bigger, isn't he? He comes over here and pushes the spirit out of the way. Flesh, why don't you come over here and just get between there. And there you go. Okay, now who wins? Huh? Somebody tell me who wins. The big guy? The big guy wins, isn't he? Okay. That's how it is for a new believer. He's struggling. He's having a hard time. And you know, the Bible tells us here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, he's not a very lovable guy, this character over here. And the flesh won out in this battle. Pretty soon there's maybe some fighting and arguing going on between Jonathan and Jack. And the flesh is just feeding that and just, yeah, see there? Look at that. Look what the flesh is doing. Hey, spirit, get in there and try and do something. Get over there and try and do something. I know, you're just pretty weak, aren't you? And that's just kind of how it goes. Galatians 5:15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And so, what are they doing? They're biting and devouring each other now. You know, yeah, see? And the flesh is just feeding that. Man, he's just prodding him on, see? And the spirit, he's pretty weak, you know. He's trying to make him quit it, but, you know, just isn't working very good, is it? So, by the way, this is not only the picture of a new believer, but it's also the picture of a retarded Christian. You know, maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years, and you're still walking around like this. Shame on you! You should have grew up. Okay? Now let's grow them up. Okay, let's come up. You guys come back up here again. Okay. Now, John becomes a mature Christian. He's been a Christian for a while. He's been reading his Bible and been going to church. And he becomes a mature Christian. He understands what God wants him to do. And he's getting some victory and some power in his life. And so, here's what happens. Let's switch signs here. There we go. There we are. Now, things are a little different. Let's go try that thing again, okay? All right, three of you go down there. Now, he's just as mean, just as ornery as ever. But this time, the flesh is... go around the other side of him there. There you go. Okay. But the flesh is trying to get him... You know, grab his arm there, Russell. Grab Jonathan's arm. And, you know, make him go like that. But the spirit is, I don't know. Now who's going to win? Who's going to win? Somebody tell me. The spirit, of course, is going to win. He's bigger, right? Okay. And that's how it is. That's how it is as we walk through this life. Now let's use some more illustrations here too for a minute. Let's just say that you guys, you're walking along and... let's see. Russell, come on over here for a minute. Take my phone. Kind of like this is a video game. All right. Now the flesh, he's going to try and get Jonathan to play a video game and just waste his time playing a video game. And Roy, why don't you grab somebody's Bible there, somebody handy there. There we go. But the Spirit, he's stronger, and he won't let him do it. And what's the Spirit do? Hands him a Bible. He better read this. This will be a lot better for you. And who's going to win? Spirit's going to win, isn't he? He's bigger. He's tougher. See? That's what walking in the Spirit is all about, folks. All right, let's do something else. You're walking along. Why don't you guys just walk down the aisle there? You're walking along, and it's a bright, sunny, wonderful day. Okay, stop about there. It's a bright, beautiful, sunny day. It's Sunday morning, and the flesh says to Jonathan here, he says, "Man, it's a wonderful, beautiful day, and whoo, you ought to go worship God at the beach today. I mean, look, you can go down there and look at the wonders of His creation, and you can have a great time." And what does the Spirit do? No way. You're going to church, buddy. You're going to church. See? And who wins? Spirit wins, doesn't he? Why? Because he's walking in the Spirit. See? And he goes along for a while. Jonathan goes over there to his mother, over there by your mother. And his mother tells him to clean his room. Yeah, see there? And the flesh comes over there. Flesh, go over there. And the flesh says, "No, you wait a minute, Jonathan. Look at these. It's a beautiful day outside. And look, your friends are all outside there playing. And wow, you're going to have a great time. Go out there and play with your friends." And what does the Spirit do? No way. You better clean your room. You better do what your mom says. See? That's walking in the Spirit. See? And we'll do another thing there with your mother, okay? Your mother has a prize vase. This is something her grandmother gave her. And it's a prize, wonderful possession that she has, like an heirloom, you know. But Jonathan's horsing around one day, and he accidentally breaks his mom's vase. And his mom says, "Jonathan, do you know anything about how my vase got broke?" And the flesh says to Jonathan, "You better make a good story here. You better come up with a story here about this. You know, you're going to be in big trouble." And what does the Spirit say? "No way. You are a young man of integrity and honesty, and you need to tell the truth." And so who wins? Spirit wins. And so Jonathan confesses it to his mother. Now there's consequences for it. Okay? Still, there's consequences. You know? He can't go outside and play with his friends for 2 days or whatever. But he told the truth, and he feels clean and good because he told the truth. See? Because he's walking in the Spirit. Okay, let's go for another little walk. Come back up this way. And here you are. You're in the store now. And Jonathan, you come across your favorite candy on the shelf there. And the flesh starts talking to you. And the flesh says, "You know, this is a little piece of candy there. And that's my favorite kind of candy. And I know my mom won't buy it for me. And, you know, there's nobody looking. I could just take that little piece of candy and I could slip it in my pocket. And nobody knows the difference. And just look around. There's nobody watching. And I can get by with this. And everything will be okay." And what does the Spirit do? "No way, buddy. That's stealing. You're not doing that. And who wins out? The spirit wins out because he's bigger. He wins out every time. See, folks, that's what walking in the spirit is all about. You guys can take your badges off now and have a seat. I did a great job, amen? All right. James chapter 1, verse 15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived," that is the lust of the flesh, "it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Listen, folks, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, the next question that comes, okay? I see we have a problem. First question. I see that we have a big problem. We need to get rid of this fleshly desire somehow. I see what it means to walk in the Spirit, what it actually looks like. Now, how do we get the Spirit to be bigger than the flesh? That's the big question here. See, this is the final question. How do we get the Spirit to be bigger than the flesh? Well, you know the old story about the white dog and the black dog, don't you? You know, it's been told umpteen dozen times from the pulpit, I'm sure. But which dog is the strongest? Which dog wins the fight? The dog you... what? The dog you feed the most, right? The dog you feed the most. And that's really how what this amounts to. You know, Roy didn't get big eating candy and popcorn. You know, he ate good. He got big. And you want the Spirit to get big in your life. And the only way you're going to do it is to feed the Spirit. Feed the Spirit. See, well, how in the world do you feed the Spirit? Well, first of all, you feed the Spirit with the Word of God. If you're never reading this book, you're going to be like this first guy with the flesh is big and the spirit is little. You get in the Word of God and you feed your spirit, this Holy Spirit, with the Word of God that's in your life. And the Spirit will grow and be big in your life. You see. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Get bigger thereby. Another way that you feed the Spirit is with church. In Jeremiah 3:15 it says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." In John 21, some of the last words of Jesus as he was talking with the Apostle Peter. He said to Peter, "You love me?" Peter said, "Yes, you know I love you, Lord." And he said, "Feed my lambs." And he asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord." And he said, "Feed my sheep." And he asked him a third time, same thing. Again, Peter said, or Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You see, as pastors and leaders in the church, it's our responsibility to feed the sheep. Okay. Why do we need to feed the sheep? Because the sheep need fed. That's why. Because the sheep need to grow. And the Spirit needs to grow in their lives. Become strong, and the flesh needs to shrink and become weaker and weaker in their lives, and a lot of that happens in church. So. As a matter of fact, Peter went on kind of, maybe this is kind of based on what Jesus had said to him, but later on in the epistles, in Peter's epistles, 1 Peter 5:2, he says, feed the flock, talking to pastors and elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. Why? Because they need fed. They need to have that spirit grow in their lives and become big in their lives. Acts 20:28. the Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, and one of his admonitions to them just before he left was this: take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. We must be fed. The Spirit must be fed if it's going to grow and become dominant in your life. So when you're walking through life, you can walk in the Spirit, you see. In Romans 13:14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, on the other hand, provisions are like supplies, like food. So, when you're feeding the flesh, guess what? The flesh is going to get bigger. Same principle. You feed the Spirit gets bigger. You feed the flesh gets bigger. Make no provisions or supply for the flesh. Wars are won and lost oftentimes because of the supply line for the soldiers. You know, during the Second World War, Germany was a great threat, really, to the whole world. But there's one problem that Germany had toward the end of the war. Couldn't get the supplies it needed. Couldn't get the fuel for its tanks, for example. And the Battle of the Bulge, one of the final battles before Germany was finally overthrown, there were many, many casualties on both sides. But the Allies won that battle in the end because the German tanks ran out of fuel. They did not have a supply of fuel to keep going. And the tank drivers had to get out of their tanks and walk back to Germany. They lost the war because of a lack of supply. You know, of course, Germany knew this principle as well. And they tried to cut off the supply line of the Allies, of the United States, sending provisions and fuel and armament and all that from the States over to Europe to fight the battles. And so the German U-boats were out there in the Atlantic Ocean, creeping around out there and waiting for a convoy of tankers, of supply line for the Allies, and they would pick them off. Say, what were they doing? They were trying to cut off the supply line. You want something to become weak and defeated, you got to cut off the supply line. You want the flesh to become weak and defeated, you have to cut off the supply line. You want the Spirit to be strong and victorious in your life, you have to supply it. You have to feed it with the Word of God and with other things, the church and so on. Our text verse says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to have victory in your life? That's the key to it. Make the Spirit big in your life. Feed it. Make and starve the flesh. And you'll have victory day by day by day in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great principle that we see in your word. Lord, we understand that there is a great struggle going on within each one of us as believers. The flesh and the spirit are battling between each other all the time. Lord, we want the Spirit to win out. We want the Spirit to be big in our life and have the control in our life. We want to walk in the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that would be the desire of everyone here today. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't even have the Spirit of God in their life at all, they're not even saved, they're not on their way to heaven, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them to pay their sin debt for them. All they need to do is trust in Him and receive Him as Savior, and the Holy Spirit will come and dwell within them and start being larger and larger in their life. I pray, Father, that you would just bless the invitation time now. Help us, Lord, to do business with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.